Hello, welcome to Episode 5 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover performer and voiceover coach, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with George Whittam. But first, I want to invite you to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge, which is an interactive 5-day roadmap to VO success. To get started, simply visit tinazaremba.com and click on VO Learning. Here we are, George Whittam. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
You've helped me design my booth here in NYC. You work solely with voiceover studios and talent. How the heck did you fall into this line of work? Because I know, like, voiceovers, they don't talk about it at career day.
Right. They sure don't. The less than 10-minute version would be, I grew up around technology and audio because of my dad. He was into, photographer mainly, but he also was into audio and recording on an amateur level. So I just was around audio gear all the time and went to Virginia Tech actually as an electrical engineer, thinking I was going to be designing and building electrical gear like sound equipment. Really realized it's not what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be operating it, not designing and building it.
Okay.
So I wanted to be an engineer. So I ended up pivoting and getting a music degree at Virginia Tech because that's what I had to do to get to use the recording studio there. So that was all well and good. I got a degree and that was great. I got some real world experience recording remotely and doing live sound for bands. And I did as much as I could while I was down there in Virginia. But then when I moved home, I was back in the real world again and I had to figure out what to do. So I moved home and then hit the ground running. I took an internship at a studio in Philadelphia called Sigma Sound, which was, I think it's gone now. It's one of the last great studios of the bygone era of great recording studios. They recorded the OJs and Jackson 5 and David Bowie in the 70s. All kinds of artists there.
I bet you have some good stories to tell there.
I did get to meet David Bowie there one time by a miracle. I happened to be interning there for 4 months and Bowie came in to do a live in-studio radio concert. And he wanted to do it at our studio because he recorded there in the 70s doing Young Americans. So he came there and I got to meet him. That was like amazing luck that I was there at the same time. So I had some fun there, but it was not the career for me being a studio rat inside a studio for 12, 14 hours a day, getting not paid or paid nothing. So I didn't last there long and ended up building my own recording truck. I built a remote recording truck, which is basically, in my case, an RV with a recording studio in the back. I was totally freelance. I called my company Eldorado Recording Services. And because the RV was called the Eldorado.
I was going to ask about that name, where that came from.
But yeah, okay. I sent it on the front of the RV. I was like, that sounds like a good name for my company. And I just freelanced and marketed and tried to find work doing that. So my experience doing audio has always been, rarely has it been in a proper studio. So I've always been working on location. I didn't get spoiled working in a perfectly soundproof acoustic environment with all the best microphones and gear money can buy. Like, I was used to using whatever I could get my hands on. And so all that helped me in the long run because now I'm accustomed to just making it work.
Before I reached out to you to design my home studio, I was a little intimidated because I had heard of all these big name voiceover talent you had worked with and seen pictures of their studios. And I was like, holy shit, I can't call this guy. But then my buddy, Mike Bratton, was like, just give him a call. He's really easy. And it worked out. I mean, you took my closet and, you know, I told you my budget and we made it work.
Yeah.
So did you start with like big name voiceover talent and designing their booths or how did this materialize?
Yeah, so fast forwarding a little bit, I ended up doing radio broadcast in Philadelphia as one of my side jobs, just trying to find, you know, things I can do. I had a friend that got me a connection with a voice actor named Howard Parker. Because I got to meet him and help him put in a studio in New York City at the time, and then he referred me to his management, which is Jason Mark's talent in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so Jason then told a few of his clients about this guy, George. So if you need help with your studio, this is the guy. You know, I took the ball and ran with it at that point. I was like, all right, this is obviously something to be that I should focus on.
So how are you able to work with, I mean, I know how, but I want you to tell our listeners how. How are you able to work with talent that are huge, like Melissa Disney, to just maybe the, you know, someone that's the average Joe talent who doesn't have the resume or the dollars to invest in their studio?
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm used to just dealing with whatever equipment and environment is presented to me. Like, I'm very adaptable, and I'm not a gear snob I'm quite happy using something very affordable and very not fancy to do the job. In fact, I'm talking to you right now on a microphone that I bought when I first built my remote truck in 99, 98.
Shut the front door. What kind of mic is it?
It's a Marshall MXL 1006, which I don't think they've made in a number of years. And the mic still sounds fantastic.
It does. And
I don't know why that's the mic I'm using today, other than the fact that it just works. If it sounds good, it is good. That's my slogan.
So what do you see as the biggest mistake talent make when they're starting to build their home studio?
They overinvest in the wrong things a lot of times. Like you said, like a lot of people will be told you have to buy a professional studio mic that you would see in every studio. I mean, God, I'm not going to stop you. If you've set aside $5,000 to set up your first home voiceover setup, yeah, go buy a $1,000 mic. But if your whole budget is only $500, you're really misspending. You know, you want to start with everything should be commensurate to your budget. The one thing you can't solve cheaply is noise problems or soundproofing. But the rest, a microphone, getting some acoustical treatment so it doesn't sound reverberant and echoey and hollow, using a computer you already have, you know, that stuff, it's so inexpensive now to get great quality audio. So don't overspend on one or two pieces thinking it's the microphone that's going to make it for me. It's not.
That brings me to my next question for you. Software. Do you feel like talent need to use the industry standard?
There are voice actors who swear by Pro Tools, and it's often because they started using Pro Tools many years ago. So it's what they're familiar with. Short version is no, you don't need Pro Tools. Pros that produce recordings and produce and edit and mix projects need Pro Tools. Voice talent who are pros at being voice actors do not need Pro Tools. They need a tool that can record, edit, and process a single voice track easily and, you know, quickly, like Adobe Audition and a few others, SoundForge. Well, one of those is definitely Twisted Wave.
I love Twisted Wave.
It's a great program. I recommend it with zero trepidation.
And you have great tutorials you offer too on your website for Twisted Wave.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually in the process of basically revamping all of that because I've created a new website. I've started my own company again. It's georgethetech.com. Or if you really like short domains, it's georgethe.tech.
Okay.
I have both. Yeah, it's really all about a tool that is easy to learn and is affordable, and it's not going to break down every time you mistakenly upgrade your Mac OS. And yes, Twisted Wave is a Mac program.
And yeah, you can go deeper with it. And this is where your tutorials get me excited, because I just found out that you can create markers when you're recording in Twisted Wave so that if you flubbed up, you can go back and go, oh, okay, I need to go back and splice that out. And so that's where I'm going to be using your tutorials, is to go even deeper and to learn more as to how I can use Twisted Wave fully.
Yeah. I mean, what makes Twisted Wave easy to learn is that it is not a multi-track recording program like Pro Tools.
Tell us more about your podcast, VOBS, which is fabulous. I love it.
Oh, yeah. So VoiceOver Body Shop came out of me meeting a fellow named Dan Leonard. He and I met at a VoiceOver conference in 2008. Realized we had a lot of things in common in terms of our background, and we were compatible, and we just ended up staying in touch and talking a lot. One day we just were talking on Skype about, man, people just don't get home studios. They overspend on microphones, and we're just kvetching. You would love that word.
Oi!
about all this stuff. And we were like, wow, you know, I wonder if people want to listen to this. We could make a show out of this. And we thought of Click and Clack from Car Talk.
Yeah, love it.
You know, and we thought, well, we could be like Click and Clack for voiceover stuff, for voiceover booths and studios. But when Dan moved to LA 2 years ago, we decided to just, well, now that he's in LA, let's do the show together physically instead of remotely like we were before. Originally, it was called EWABS, or East West Audio Body Shop. And one of our friends from the show, he's a comedian named Chris Heward, he was like, why don't you just call it VOBS? Voice Over Body Shop. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. it stuck. And so that's what we've called the show ever since.
You don't just talk about equipment and home studios. You also branch out and talk to coaches. You talk about what's happening in the industry. So you guys run the gamut there within voiceovers.
Yeah, we figured out not too long ago that just talking about home studio stuff was going to be boring very quick. And we would cover the majority of the topics very quickly. So we wanted to make it clear that the guests that come on, they don't have to geek out with us. And actually, once we have the guest on, we rarely talk tech at all. But yeah, we geek out a little bit, but mostly the people we have on the show are coaches and innovators in the business. And, you know, it's sort of like a two-parter. The first half is tech. Second half is interview. We joke that it's an hour-long show that takes an hour and a half. Because it's really designed to be an hour-long show. We just can't manage to keep it that short. It ends up being an hour and a half every time.
I think it's awesome. I highly recommend that people check out VOBS. And George, tell us your site again so folks can check out.
Yes. So the show is at VOBS.tv.
Your site?
The tech stuff is at georgethetech.com.
Awesome. Listen, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with me. I know you're really busy, and I think the world of you and all that you know in the tech world, I'm praising you right now. And I wish you the best in the new year.
Thanks, Tina. It's really nice for you to have me on. I really appreciate being able to be here today.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor Sam Ufret. Be sure to tune in to episode 6, where I talk with discovery coach Natasha Vanzetti, where she'll be talking about thinking big for the new year, but starting small. And remember, take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. To get started for free, simply visit tinazaremba.com and click on VO Learning. Thanks for listening. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.